of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson.
Good morning, Jefferson. How you doing, Terry?
Doing good.
Good. Ashley, how you doing?
Happy daylight saving time.
Oh, yes. We get to flip back and forth, aren't we?
I'm a little short on sleep today.
That's what happens in California. You get to flip back and forth. We couldn't be like Arizona and do our thing and stay that way, could we?
No, that would make things too easy.
Yeah.
Sitting on a bar stool.
Yeah.
Kind of short and kind of square.
Yeah, you've fallen off more than you've sat on.
Well, I wonder where you saw me at.
I don't know.
Which or was it you?
It wasn't me.
Well, you may have had a mustache. You're short and square.
Yeah.
We both are.
Yep.
Why is your music on?
There's no music.
Yeah,
there is. You're talking about the music.
Oh, you're awesome. Ashley, you're the best girl.
She keeps us out of trouble.
You really are. Well,
okay, that blames me if you get in trouble. So let's not do that.
Broadcasting live from KCNR in downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. If you have a question, call 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567.
67.
Easy for me. It's the first day of my new tongue.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyway, here we are, Wynn.
Yes.
And tomorrow night at 2570 South Bonneview Road, we are having a meeting.
At the church that shall remain nameless. Yep.
We can't name that, can we?
No, not yet. Someday.
Yep. Anyway, 2570 South Bonneview Road. Janet Chandler will be speaking at 6 p.m. about our Constitution. We've had it going here for about the last year.
No, Janet is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we have a group, one of our committees and a group of folks over in Trinity County are going through the Jefferson Constitution. I think they're probably around Article 6 by now.
Okay.
And it's not as long as in ambiguous as the California Constitution by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, it hasn't been amended.
Yeah, it won't be. It won't be. That's the idea.
500 times.
527.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
there we
527.
Go. And counting.
I'm an excellent driver. You know. Anyway, so we're having that. And also Patrick Jones, who just won the primary, or was lead dog in the primary for Supervisor District 4.
Of Shasta County.
Very good. He'll be in talking, and that'll be really good. And I want to remind folks there's a gun show today.
There is, at the Holiday Inn.
Yes.
Hilltop Drive here in Reading.
Yes, and it goes till when, do you know, my friend?
I think it goes till 4.
I think you're right.
I think it's
Sunday.
4 o'clock.
So head on out there and go see all the goodies they've got. They have everything from Indian artifacts to guns.
They have lots of guns.
They have
and
guns.
All the accessories
they
that go with
guns.
Guns.
Bullets,
yes.
Things like that.
Yep. They have lots of good stuff there.
Lots of fun stuff.
I was going to try to spend a lot of money there yesterday, but I was told that I couldn't do that.
Who told you that?
Who do you think? The other half.
The boss.
The boss. She said, you can't do that.
So anyway, what we're gonna talk about today is we're going to put things in perspective, and Mark Baird will be calling in soon. But, you know, we've all been looking for the silver bullet. How do we fix all this situation that we have here? How does everybody get their voice really heard in America and in the state of Jefferson? Because we know that's not happening in the state of California. There's three things to remember. Number one, without representation, nothing else matters, period. End of sentence.
Yep.
I don't care if you are upset because, you know, of the Federal Reserve or that we don't deal in gold and silver or that we're upset about CARB, we're upset about this, we're upset about that. If you don't have representation and your voice doesn't count, then nothing matters. Number two, we need a way to protect that. The way we protect that is with the Second Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And the Second Amendment is the way that we protect ourselves. Now, remember when the Second Amendment was written, it was at a time of peace in the United States.
Right after war.
Yep. We didn't write it so that we could protect ourselves from the deer and the squirrels,
yep.
You know, in case they would have a coup and try to take over our government. The situation was is we wanted to make sure we had a way of protecting ourselves against a government that could be oppressive or controlling the people. The third thing that we have to be looking at, once we protect that one, and understand that representation is the key for everything, is when we do elect people to represent us, we have to give them an apportioned area in which they can adequately represent you. In California, we have one senator for every million people, and we have one assemblyman for every 500,000.
How does that work?
It doesn't.
Amen.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
So, and we'll talk more about that later on when Mark calls in. But anyway, so if you have that issue, and of course when California first capped the Senate of the state to 40, and they capped the assembly to 80, that was 1862, we had 417,000 people. Now we have 40 million people. And we haven't added one more representative. Now here's the interesting part. If you look at the judicial system in California, we had 50 judges.
Don't want
then.
To. It's all corrupt.
We had 50 judges, and now we have 2,000. Gosh. Does anybody see something out of whack about that?
So the judges are... We have more judges because they are representing the people, and the balance is coming out by the judges. The judges don't represent the people.
That's right. They don't. No, they don't. They don't make laws either.
They represent the government. That's right. They're making sure they have plenty of judges to represent the government versus representing the people.
And the benchmark back then, my friend, was one representative assembly person for every about 5,000 people.
What?
Yeah. And so, you know, since we fast forward to now for every 500,000, even if you're a good representative, no matter which side of the aisle you're on, even if you're a good representative, it's very difficult to represent that many people.
If not impossible.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
So the real deal is we have to have an apportionment to where we can have an adequate balance for those people to represent us. And that would be maybe, I don't know, the biggest stretch would probably be one for every 10,000. And how about the federal model of government? Here's a quiz. In the United States of America, in Congress, in the Senate, how many senators is there for each state, even if you're big like California or little like Wyoming with 700,000, big like California with 40 million, how many senators does each state have?
I know.
How many?
I know. Two. Did I pass?
You did. So, and the House is based on what? The House was based on population. So, that meant that Madison and Jefferson understood the simple fact that the smaller townships, counties, little hamlets, had to be represented and the people's voice had to be heard, as well as the bigger towns of Boston, New York, and Charleston. Now, it used to be, in the United States, before a culmination of court cases, which I'm sure Mark will talk about, that ended up with Reynolds versus Sims. And remember, the Supreme Court gives an opinion, not a ruling. It's an opinion. It has to be adopted by the states.
Opinions.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, when in 1964, when the ruling came down of basically one man, one vote, rocks and trees can't vote, it eliminated... For the states that adopted the opinion of the Supreme Court, it eliminated a situation of the federal model of government. It used to be, in California, we had one senator for every county. Sound familiar?
It does.
And then the assembly was basically based upon population. After Reynolds versus Sims, which we didn't even adopt that till 1966, after that, what happened is that the Senate went to a population position also. And now 11 counties in California have one senator, and Los Angeles County alone has 11.
That's, wait.
Yeah.
Wait, no way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 11 to 1. So, I mean, who wins that football game, except for maybe Tom Brady? But, you know.
They do.
And I don't even know if Tom Brady can do it. I've got the cameraman here nodding his head to somebody.
Oh, well, you know who wins on that? The assemblyman.
Yes, they do.
It's not the people, that's for sure. Not the people they're supposed to represent.
And then with this third thing, by giving them an apportionment, by giving the people we elect an apportionment that's going to be palatable for them and going to be palatable for the people, and they know they're being represented, they have to be held accountable to the same laws we are. They have to be held accountable, and they also have to be held accountable that they follow their oath of office, their oath to the Constitution of the United States and the and the oath to the California or whatever state constitution that they are representing. Now, last thing I'll say is that with this, these people need to be held accountable for the things they do, accountable for the things they do. Three things. Representation, number one. Number two, Second Amendment to protect our rights. Number three, apportionment to where the people we do elect can adequately represent their constituents and that they're held accountable for their actions with consequences if they don't follow the rule of law.
Amen.
With that, I'm going to bring Mark Barron on real quick. Kemosabe, how are you, sir?
Hey, how you guys doing?
So far, so good.
Doing good. We're going to come back, and you probably heard the beginning of the program. We're going to come back here. We're going to do a really quick break, and then we're going to come back to you, Mark, and
we'll resume.
So stay with us, brother, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Sing it with me one time now. Sing, yeah, yeah, Jefferson. Sing, yeah, yeah, number 51. We believe in freedom.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
These guys are good.
You think?
Yeah, all these musicians are good, huh?
That's why they're playing on the radio and we're not.
Yeah. 2013, nothing was happening. Now we even have people making songs and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Gosh.
You give them a lot of material by falling off your bar stool somewhere.
I did. Well, I think you had a mustache.
Long time.
I don't get foam on my mustache. I usually just spill it.
You just pound it.
In fact, I spill a lot. My wife nags me about that. I spill everything. Don't spill. Okay, I won't spill.
Need a big bib.
Kemosabe.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing, buddy?
How are you, sir?
Every day's a new adventure. What are you guys up to?
Well, you know, we'd like to have you expound on the three things we talked about representation, the Second Amendment, and having an apportionment that makes sense for the voters and for the person that we vote in to be able to do their job and us to make sure that they do their job and they're being held accountable. So what's to you, my friend?
Well, I mean, I say that having representation that largely consists of liars and criminals and really representation, and And I think that in the state of California, the lie is encouraged as long as you're on the right, in the right party. And, they'll tell you black is white and up is down and, good is bad and bad is good. And you're just supposed to believe that because you don't have the say to challenge that notion. I mean, and I can, give you many, many examples of that. For example, the repeal of the gas tax was deliberately misrepresented so that no meant yes and yes meant no.
Mm-hmm.
And it was foisted off on the voters with, and the government wrote that. So the government in California lies. They're allowed to do it. Can't stop them from doing it because you don't have any representation. Transgender Story Hour, where sexual deviants are teaching your children the joys of their sexually deviant lifestyle. And you have to swallow that because you don't have the representation to even state your opinion. And if you do state your opinion, you're officially vilified in the state of California for having an opinion that's different from their quote, majority. Even though the vast number of people in this geography or this geographical area don't support those notions. You have a governor that says he wants to make California the abortion vacation destination of the world. So, you know, the California government condones murder. It's supported by their legislature. Their majority says it's not only acceptable, but it's preferable. I can only feel sorry for the governor that his mother didn't choose that choice, because then we wouldn't be saddled with him. But, you know, that goes. Do as I say. In other words, in the do as I say, but not as I do government of California, these things are okay. And you even look at our own representation, the Daley dynasty, where Ms. Daley misrepresents herself, misrepresents her endorsements or gains endorsements from the unions that own this state. They fund her campaign to the tune of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars so that no legitimate challenger will have an actual chance at gaining our votes. And, you know, she buys the election with money, and the place is awash with her flyers and her misrepresented record of being, a staunch conservative and defender of the faith and the people. When really she's none of those things and has no track record and has no platform and has no sense of right, because she's willing to do this stuff. And those lies are supported by the unions that own this state in order to get money for themselves. You look in Reading. I mean, the police union supports her, and what's their goal? Get more money for themselves. It's not really to represent you. It's not really to reduce crime. It's not really to make your community safer. It's just to get more pay and more benefits. So that, like Idaho Tom, you can grab your CalPERS, and the very first thing you do after you grab your CalPERS is bail to a different state where you get to keep more of your money.
Well,
I don't know how many guys you could name, the former city manager, the sheriff, the former chief of police. What do? They get their money and they bail to Idaho or some other state where they can have liberty with the money they stole from you. So I don't know. These things are, to me, are just self-evident. I don't know why people don't understand. I can't imagine what excuse you have for not knowing that these things are true. They're apparent even to a blind man that they're going on, and people just really don't seem to care. I know your life is busy and you got a job, and I have kids. I have to get my kids to soccer, and I have to do this and I have to do that, but, you know, I think that the system is designed so that you're going to work harder and harder for less and less, and you'll have less and less time to pay attention to the things that are changing your life without your permission.
Well, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with that, you know. And Madison said the greatest power on earth is to control the government. And because we the people had that power, and I say had because, as we both know, I'd like somebody just to name one thing that the government doesn't control in our life, whether it's the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the car you drive, the gas you use in your car, the toys your kids play with or grandkids play with. There isn't one thing people can actually name that the government in one way, shape, or form state or federal, isn't in control of. But Madison did say the greatest power on earth is to control government. So if that's the greatest power on earth, wouldn't the why would the government allow the people to control it when it knows it can control itself or control the people? You know, I mean, and control the people by, you know, the usage of the word democracy, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have a democracy, and I'd like you to talk about that because, you know, democracy is simply mob rule, and I'd like you to talk about the difference between democracy and a Republican form of government, which is what we have. You know, because if you have a democracy, all you have to do is convince one side or the other, or you know that there's a crisis, or there's an attraction over here, or maybe there's something free over here, and you get them chasing all these different things, and then you can divide them if you're the government over race, and you can divide them over economics, you can divide them over all these divisive issues, and all of a sudden you now have a tribe, you have a red team and a blue team. And so what you're looking at is that the way we combat that basically is wisdom and knowledge. If we have wisdom and knowledge of who we are, what the law says, which, thank you, sir, you've certainly been a person that's helped a lot of us, myself personally, in giving us a lot of information. I'd like you to just explain the difference between democracy and the Republican form of government we have.
Well, all you have to do is look back to the French Revolution versus the American Revolution. The French Revolution was a bloody affair that wasn't over. I don't think until around 1848 was when they got rid of the last king of France finally, and they started in 1789 or 1790. I forget which year exactly the French Revolution started, but they saw what happened in America, and then they went about it exactly wrong. They, you know, the mob rose up, chopped off Louis and Marie's head, went through this bloody revolt where they purged the government of all the wealthy elites. Does any of this sound familiar? They want to get rid of the wealthy elites, the Democrats do, but they themselves are wealthy elites. I mean, the bartender's making more money than she ever made in her life, and she gets all of her money from millionaires and billionaires, but yet she wants to put all the millionaires and billionaires out of business. So, first thing they did was purge the intellectuals, purge the rich people, purge the elite that they call them, and rolled out the guillotine, legalized murder with a 51% vote, and were chopping people's heads off with reckless abandon. And that revolution miserably failed, and then a king came back, and a dictator came back, and three or four revolutions later, they finally got to some semblance of the government they have now, which is not particularly representative to their people even now, because the government declared that illegal open borders are the way of it, and it's the future of France to just let anybody in that wants to come in. And now they have violence in the streets and riots in the streets and regular burning of cars in downtown Paris. Paris as a whole, I wouldn't go there for money anymore. So, France has descended into abject chaos because of the policies of the mob. And the United States is busy trying to do the same thing. And thank God we have a president now who's trying to stop that. But, you know, just look at the mob in the United States. The first 3 years of this president's term have been an attempt to undo the election. And when he wins again, they'll spend another 4 years trying to undo this election. And you look at mob rule in California. How good is that? Isn't it just wonderful that you pay more for gas than anybody in the nation so that we personally can stop whatever it is that they call climate change? And yet, after years and years and years of blowing trillions of our dollars, your dollars, my dollars, stopping climate change, we haven't stopped anything, according to them. It's getting worse, but if we just had more money, we could stop it. And it won't stop then, but if we have more money, we can stop it. So now they want to outlaw diesel trucks, and they want to outlaw cars that burn gasoline. And, you know, you'll pay because you don't have any say in it, and you don't have any choice. And if you don't pay, you're going to be fined or thrown in jail or whatever. Same with your gun rights. You don't have the right to defend yourself in California, and if you think you do, you're a fool. And if you think your little permission slip from the sheriff is going to protect you, I can name several people that thought that right up until the sheriff decided to revoke their permission because of what they said, because of their political views. And their little permission slip got revoked. So a single state actor, a single state agent has the power to take away your inalienable, God-given right to defend yourself and your family because he doesn't like the, where you stand politically. Now, admittedly, Tom is failing for Idaho, so the next sheriff is going to have to prove his worth. But here again, he's in charge. One person is in charge of your ability to defend yourself.
Yeah, I think
and then
that...
Then you look at California with ammunition. I mean, you have to register to buy ammunition, and you can't buy ammunition unless you have a registered gun that uses that kind of ammunition. Ooh, talk about a database there. How hard is it going to be for the government to come pick up your gun when they get mad enough at you?
Hey, Mark.
It's not going to be hard at all. In fact, DOJ is already doing that.
Mark? I want you to hold that thought. I want you to talk more on the Second Amendment after the break. There is a, you know, and folks, he's right. I mean, you know, the Second Amendment is a right we have. And also the Constitution is not, the Constitution doesn't give us rights. It's the line in the sand that you don't, that the government can't cross. It's the things, the only things that they should be doing. And remember, the reason they do the things, whether it be the state or whether it be the federal government, the reason they do those things is because we let them, and we're ignorant, not stupid, but ignorant of what how this whole thing works. Mark, I'd like you to talk about, when you get back, a little more on the Second Amendment, and Mark's absolutely right, that any time you have a concealed carry, it's a privilege, not a right. It's a privilege, just like a driver's license. They can take that from you. How can someone take your inalienable rights? Your inalienable right would be something that can't be taken away. How can another human being take that from you? And we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. So time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Be thankful I don't take it all.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Lewis Black, It Gets Better Every Day Tour. And for those cynics who don't think it gets better every day, well, I'm coming to your town with a new show, and it doesn't get any better than that.
March 29th, 7:30 p.m., Reading Civic Auditorium. Tickets are on sale now at readingcivic.com or call the box office. Lewis Black, It Gets Better Every Day Tour.
Lewis Black reminding you, I'll see you in March.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, president of We Back the Blue Shasta, wanting to spread the word to all North State first responders, police, fire, EMS, and dispatchers. We are bringing nationally certified Code 9 PTSD and suicide prevention training right here to Shasta County, starting March 24th at Simpson University. There are seminars for command staff, frontline first responders, or their families. We have paid so you can attend for free. Details and registration on our We Back the Blue Shasta Facebook page.
On a good book, learned about the land. They grew what they ate, they didn't get it from Uncle Sam. It's time to take a stand, it's time to draw the line. You better bring yours when you come to take mine.
Amen, brother. You come to take mine, you get it led first.
Yeehaw.
Mark, you there, buddy?
Yep, I'm here.
All right. You want to expand on what Terry was talking about?
Well, so you're looking at your Second Amendment rights, and you know you closed with the inalienable right, but it isn't, because in federal court, a federal judge and my attorney for the Second Amendment lawsuit against the state of California for banning the Second Amendment in California told the judge these are inalienable rights and they're pre-governmental rights, and all the right guarantees us is freedom from government interference. In other words, the Second Amendment confers nothing on the people. All it does is it codifies the fact that the people, the people's right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So
yep.
If you see the right in the Constitution and in the Bill of Rights, therefore the right must have predated the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So the judge looks back at the attorney and says, I don't deal with pre-constitutional rights. I deal with constitutional rights. In other words, the judge looks at this as if the Constitution conferred the right, and what the government gives, the government can take away. The California government thinks that all things are under the purview of government, and they demonstrate that each and every day, and I'm not going to go into that litany, but they demonstrate that, and therefore, what government giveth, government can take away, even your personal property, even the way you use your personal property, the money you pay for it, your business. They dictate what you pay your employees. They dictate how you conduct your business, when you conduct your business. Did you know on the LLC tax form, you have to sign a, you sign a statement. You're coerced into signing the statement, because if you don't sign it, you'll be persecuted by the government and hounded out of business, that you submit to the jurisdiction of California and give them all authority to tax you however they see fit. How about that for a statement?
It's right on. I mean, yeah.
You voluntarily right. give the state of California jurisdiction over your property and your business, and you confer upon them the ability to tax you however they see fit.
Because we let them,
wow.
and that's the thing. We let
wow.
them.
That's
and,
right.
And,
we do.
That's right. And that's the whole issue. I know that, you know, there's a lot of things that the California what was it that De Leon said? Pass any law that you want, and then they're going to
pass any law you want, and don't worry about the Constitution. Pass whatever law you want, and we'll let the court sort it out.
Yeah, let
wow.
the courts
and then,
paid off.
And then we go ahead and we spend our money to defend what is ours, and they spend our money, we give them for taxpayer money, to fight against what is ours.
And then we have to
yep.
raise money to
That's
fight them.
Pretty much it. And then every federal judge has 944 cases a year, and I'll just give you an example of that. My case was filed just about a year ago, just about 1 year ago, and that federal judge has not even ruled on the motion to dismiss yet.
Can you talk a little bit about your case and give us a short synopsis on it so the folks that are listening understand what that case is?
Yeah, my case is that the California legislature has imposed a legislative ban on the Second Amendment in California. Concealed carry is not a right, according to the Ninth Circuit Court, and the Supreme Court refused to rehear the case, so that is the law. Peruta v. San Diego, concealed carry is not your right. It is a privilege conferred to you by the state of California. The state can give it to you, not give it to you, charge whatever they want, require whatever they want. You do not have that right. You have that privilege according to your permit in 26 Penal Code 26150 and 26150B. So A and B. So the state gives you permission to carry a firearm concealed in some counties. In some counties, they don't give those out. So some places you can carry if the government says so, and most places you can't in California. However, Penal Code Section 25850 says you cannot carry a weapon openly in the state of California anywhere. So you have the right to get permission from the government. Well, you don't even have that right. You can apply for permission from the government to carry, and they may give it to you and they may not. However, you do not have any right to carry a firearm in California. So that, and if you read the Second Amendment by its plain language, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, and you do not have that right in California, there is no Second Amendment in California. And in some places, you can't even gain permission to carry, so there is absolutely no right. Well, I sued the government over that, because we have the right or we don't, and from my understanding of the Bill of Rights, none of those rights are second tier. Those are fundamental pre-governmental, inalienable human rights. The Bill of Rights outlines those. You don't have to ask permission of the government to exercise your freedom from unlawful searches and seizures. You don't have to ask the government for your right to speak freely. The Second Amendment is the only right that's been relegated to the dustbin of history, and all control has been usurped by the state of California. And I'm asking the federal court, and it may go to the Supreme Court, I don't know. Do we have a Second Amendment or don't we? That's the question I'm asking.
In the name of the
and
case.
Right now, because of the inaction of the federal judge, we don't.
In the name
we don't
of,
have a Second Amendment right.
And the name of the case is?
Baird versus Becerra.
Who is the Attorney General?
Becerra.
The Attorney General.
And so we're waiting now because I think the judge is waiting for the New York Rifle and Pistol Association case, because part of my case is a Fourth Amendment claim that if you lawfully and legitimately own property and that property was acquired lawfully for lawful purposes, that the Fourth Amendment bars the government from impeding your ability to carry that property in the manner you see fit and use it for the purpose you see fit, as long as the purpose is lawful. So a pistol is no different from a chair under the Fourth Amendment, and you don't have to get a permit to carry your chair around, or let's say you use a rake to defend yourself. You don't need a permit to carry the rake. So why do you need a permit to carry your pistol, and why can't you carry your pistol anywhere you want? And ladies, you have your pistol holster on you, but when you go to work, you have to wear a dress, and you're not able to strap on your pistol, so you put it in your purse. Well, why are you concealing the firearm as opposed to just carrying it in a manner that's conducive to your labor or to your work or to your mode of transportation or whatever it is?
Hey, Mark.
Are you hiding your gun because you get in your car and close the door?
Hey, Mark, question for you. What bearing does a decision out of New York have on California?
Well, what our judge thinks and what a lot of people think, and this may or may not prove to be true based on the Supreme Court's opinion, because the oral arguments have already been heard in that case, is that in the city of New York, you do not have the ability to carry your firearm outside the city. In other words, to leave town with your firearm in order to go to a range or practice or whatever it is you want to do with it, hunt or whatever, defend yourself, doesn't matter. So you have to get a special permission from the city to even transport your firearm. Well, their claim is that that's unlawful under both the Second and Fourth Amendments. So if the Supreme Court grants the right, and once again, grants the people the right that they already have to transport a firearm, then that would have a bearing on our case, because in California, in order for me to carry my firearm from one jurisdiction to another, I'd have to sprout wings to fly over the top of the jurisdictions that don't allow that. So even should I gain the ability to openly carry my firearm in Siskiyou County, I couldn't go to the store in Redding without being arrested.
Well, the thing is, Sue, how about that? It's only an opinion from the Supreme Court. It's not the law.
Right.
It's an opinion. So how is that going to affect the whole thing?
Well, what they may do is remand the case back to the federal court in New York with the instruction that you allow the lawful transportation of firearms under the Fourth Amendment and the Second Amendment. So, and our judge, I'm sure, is using that as an excuse, because look, here's the deal. The state's painted itself into a corner.
Yep.
In counties like Santa Clara, you have no Second Amendment rights. None whatsoever. In counties like Shasta County, you have every right that the sheriff allows you to have. You don't have a right unless the sheriff says you do. In Siskiyou County, you don't have the right to carry a firearm unless the sheriff grants you that permission. So the state's painted itself into a corner by legislatively banning the Second Amendment, and I think this judge, there's no possible way in heck she could go back to her wine bar and tell her liberal buddies she allowed Second Amendment guarantees to be exercised in California. So I'm thinking that she's waiting for the New York Rifle and Pistol case to settle so that she can go back to her liberal buddies and say, why? The Supreme Court made me allow it.
Well, I want to let the folks know that Mark Baird will be speaking with Jeanette Finnicum and Mark Herr from the Center of Self-Governance, along with Woody Clendenin and speakers from the California Deputies Association will all be speaking at the Tehama County Fairgrounds on March the 15th, which is a Sunday. Doors open at 12. The program starts at 1. Folks, there's no. It would just be amazing to go. They'll be flipping hamburgers and hot dogs if you're hungry. There'll be booths set up. Again, the Tehama County Fairgrounds, that is Sunday, March the 15th. Doors open at 12. You need to be there. If you love your country, if you love the Second Amendment, and again, you know, we're spending a lot of time on the Second Amendment, but, okay, somebody may want to call in and tell me how Hitler took over Germany. Somebody may want to call me and tell me in India who the only people that own guns, and that's the politicians and the mafia and the police, which in
are all
some
one
cases,
in the same.
Yeah,
are all one in the same. Yep.
So,
well, look at what Michael Bloomberg had to say about
oh,
that.
Man.
Somebody asked him at a town hall, why are you allowed to have armed security, but you want to take my gun away? And he
right.
says, well, you know, as a wealthy person and a controversial person,
yeah.
you know, I have many credible threats, and I need security. And my security is trained better than you are, and my security is this more than you are, and my security deserves to have a firearm. Where you don't. But and Basinko made the same argument. Well, my officers respond to calls for service, and so they need to have their weapon. Well, I'll tell you, I used to be a peace officer a while back, and so I understand that part of it. And here's what I say. You may have to respond to a call for service with your own family, and you won't see it coming. And why is it that you deserve to have a firearm less than someone that knows it's coming?
Right.
You bet. Well, with that, we're going to have to go off.
And before we go off, on the event next Sunday, the 15th,
yes,
down in Red Bluff, bring your kids. Bring your children.
Oh, yeah.
They need to be informed about what's really going on. And it's good for kids, too. They have a kids program through the team down there in Cottonwood. So definitely bring your kids. They need to understand what's really going on within all the dynamics of the state.
Well put, my friends. So with that, time has come.
For 51. Come.
Let's get her done.
So you say your prayers and you thank the Lord for that peacemaker in the chest of joy.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Ammunition.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And pass the ammunition.
I think that's a new theme song.
There you go, Kimmy Swabby. That one was for you, my good friend.
Yeah. I mean, let's take a look at the First Amendment just for a second. There are many instances in California where colleges are establishing free speech zones where you don't have free speech unless you go to a certain spot and stand in a certain place on the concrete. So, you know, this creeping government control over inalienable rights is worse and worse in California, and it's spreading to other places, too. It's not exclusive here. But if you're, you know, you're worried about your kids and you're worried about making a living for your kids, well, I have a suggestion. Start to worry and work toward a future where your kids can enjoy their lives and enjoy the liberty that your fathers and grandfathers handed to you. Because we've allowed that liberty to be stolen from us. We don't have it in California. It is all gone. You don't have a First Amendment. You don't have a Second Amendment. You don't really, Fourth Amendment is kind of dodgy anyway, because that's open to interpretation by the courts. So, you know, your first four are gone. You don't have a right to bail anymore in California because they've changed bail so that it's unrecognizable. AB 5, AB 147, they're emptying the jails. These criminals are on the street, yet you don't have the right to defend yourself against these people. They've opened the southern border so that anybody, any crook or anybody can come in. You don't even know who they are. In fact, in California, you have to get your real ID. So here's the thing. You have to prove who you are as a lawful citizen, but illegals don't have to prove who they are. I mean, illegals are voting in California. Look at Election Integrity Project if you have any doubts about that. And I could give you firsthand information through investigations that I was party to that illegals not only vote in California, but they're voting in more than one place. Mm-hmm. That the criminals in California are registered and vote in more than one place, and you don't have to show ID in California to even prove who you are anyway. So we're living in this bizarro universe where the criminals are guarding the jail and lawful citizens are locked up inside. And my question to you is, what are you personally going to do about this to secure the future for your children? Because here's the good news. I'm not a glass is half empty kind of person. The good news is we, the people, can fix this. And if we could get nothing more than non-committed people who don't vote, gun owners, and conservative Christians to go to the poll and vote, we could take this state back in the very next election. We could boot these bums out and take our state back in one election if conservative Christians and gun owners would get off their lazy butts and vote.
Amen, well, I think that's so true. And, you know, the thing is that you still have to have an apportionment to where you've got an adequate way for, you know, if there is such a thing, a good politician or representative to adequately represent those people. You can't do it with one for 500,000 or a senator for every million people. And so,
if you got enough money.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. See, that's so the change has to be there. And the other thing is that, you know, I want you to talk about holding these politicians accountable, because that's the thing. They take an oath to in the matter of California, an oath to the state of California's constitution, and an oath to the United States Constitution. You know, and they don't follow that, and they're breaking the law. I know that you've talked about Title 8, Code Section 1324, and how the governor and the secretary of state and the attorney general and the Senate pro tem have actually broken a federal law. And I'd like you to talk about that a little bit, if you would, sir.
And also on top of that, you're talking about them taking an oath. Yeah, they take it. But do they honor it? Do they comply with it? Do they follow the oath?
What are the consequences of them not following the law?
Exactly.
And what are the consequences of them not being accountable to the oath they take? So what say you, sir?
Well, right now there aren't any consequences.
That's right.
Title 8, 1324 is a federal crime, harboring and shielding illegal aliens. And so the mayor of Oakland's guilty, the governor's guilty, the Senate pro tem, the speaker of the assembly, and everybody that voted for the sanctuary state law is in violation of Title 8, 1324. They're federal felons, period. And yet, that law is not enforced. What the federal government would do to you is put you in jail, and you'd be tried in federal court. What the federal government is doing to the state of California is absolutely nothing. They brought a case that's winding its way through federal court, and it'll be years before that case is resolved, if it's ever resolved. So, you know, they're not accountable to the people. They're not accountable to the law. They're not even accountable to their own oath of office or to their own constitution, because Article 3 of the California Constitution says that the United States Constitution is the highest law in the land.
Now, Mark, with that, you were talking about the securing the border and so forth of the governor. Now, are you talking about both governors, Brown and Newsom?
Well, yeah.
Okay, I mean, so is there any expiration on that? I mean, if they're out of office and they're no longer accountable, or can we still go after them down the road?
Well, look, there's a statute of limitations for some felonies. I don't know if Governor Brown's passed the statute or not, to tell you the truth. I haven't read the penalty part of that law in a while. So maybe Governor Brown's just exceeded the statute of limitations, but Newsom certainly hasn't because
right.
he's currently engaged in the activity and it's ongoing.
There you go.
And
okay.
so is every member of the California legislature that voted for those bills or even was complicit in not protesting vehemently against those bills, because if you aid and abet a crime, you're just as guilty as the guy that committed the crime.
So that would be all 120 of our assembly and senators, right?
You got it.
Yep.
That's exactly right, and including the champions of liberty in California, the Republican Party, you know, Brian Daly and his wife,
yep.
Jim Nielsen, you know, Ted Hu, and now replaced by Brian Hu. So we haven't seen Brian Hu in Siskiyou County since he bought the election for state senate.
Yep.
We haven't seen Megan Hu in Siskiyou County since she bought and paid for the election.
Yep.
I mean, that's all that is.
Well, you know, and the thing is that, you know, the folks that really understand liberty, it isn't one party or the other. I mean, we've talked about both parties here. The people you just discussed are Republicans, and we've discussed some Democrats. It's really the bureaucracy, and frankly, I think we have an oligarchy. I think they're all one. I mean,
yep.
the deal is, it's like Bernie Sanders. I mean, he talks about socialism, yet he owns two homes that are worth over $1 million.
They're all part of the same swamp.
Part of the same swamp. And, yep. and you know, I think that, Mark, well, we've got about 4 minutes here, and I just want you to feel free and talking about whatever you want here, whatever you think it's important for folks to know. This broadcast is going to go out a little further than normal, folks. We have a news team here that's been filming this and is going to be sending this out, according to them, to
300
million homes.
Homes worldwide.
In 125 countries. So
Mark, it's less than 2 minutes.
My emphasis is on this. This can be fixed. It can be. It can be fixed by citizen involvement. You know, if we adhere to the Constitution of the United States, if you have some semblance of responsibility to the liberties that were gained through the blood, treasure, and sacred honor of our forefathers, then you have a duty and a responsibility to adhere to those values and to see that those values are presented to your children. That's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really the bottom line, isn't it? Did your grandfather and your father and your relatives and your ancestors, did they perform their sacrifice and their service for nothing? I mean, or not? If it was for nothing, then okay, keep doing what you're doing, but don't cry when it goes poorly for you.
Right.
If you're a business owner in California, don't cry when you can't keep your business anymore because you can't hire independent contractors, you can't use a diesel vehicle, you can't afford to pay your taxes anymore. Don't whine about that if you didn't do anything about it. And if you're okay with your situation, if you're all right being a dog chained to your master's table, content with the scraps he decides to flick off onto the floor, then just shut up and get out of the way and let the rest of us who do care have a way forward. We're suing the government in federal court. The Ninth Circuit just pulled a shenanigan. They decided that they could opinion in our case without oral argument. There are two ways of looking at that. One is the evidence was strong enough they didn't need the oral argument to rule. And two is courts do best what they can do in secret. So your right to a public trial to air your grievances has been removed by the Ninth Circuit. They're going to rule behind closed doors without oral argument. And personally, I think that they do best what they do in secret, and there's great jeopardy to our case. So I think that if you're okay with sedition, then California is the place for you. If you're not okay with sedition, join us. I think you should consider forming community groups, political action groups that are not dependent on the money, but are comprised of your neighbors, your labor. Get out on the street, talk to your neighbors, knock on doors, and find out, are you okay with the California you live in?
Okay, because thank you, Mark.
If you're not, there's something you can do about it.
There you go. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. We're off, and we're going to be done in just a second. SOJ51.org.
Yeah, stay tuned for Sovereign Minds, and time has come.
We're 51.
Let's get her done.
Awesome. Medical Center.